In this episode, I had the honor of having a conversation with Eden Swan. From her journey of breaking into the luxury wedding market to how she uses Instagram as a marketing tool, this is really a masterclass on how to reach your target audience and getting to know them well. Thank you, Inspire Business Community, for partnering with us for this season of the Silo Podcast. Creatives, if you need a spot to work with other people, brainstorm, or have an office, Inspire's got you covered. We can't thank you enough for letting us host the podcast in your space. So beautiful, and it made for a perfect backdrop. Let's get into the episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Silo Podcast. I'm here with Eden Swan, and we're here talking all things creativity. I'm so hyped for this one. It's going to be a good one. Eden, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I feel so honored to be here. Super excited.
Let's just dig right into the deep end. Tell me about like the rise that you've had on Instagram and like what happened there? Because I've been following you for like a while now and just cheering you on. But like in these last maybe even like 4 or 6 months, you've been really popping off.
First of all, no, I don't even like talking about this. But I feel really blessed to have people that I can pour into and use my gifts to just share things I'm learning and what I'm creating, like truly feeling so blessed. But it really was a God thing and just tapping into like the gifts that he already has put inside of me and taking time to explore that and build into what he's given me and hopefully stewarding that well.
So you're a wedding photographer. Do you consider yourself anything else apart from that? Is your main niche wedding at this point?
At this point, it's wedding photography. Previously, I did more editorial brand portrait work, but I have found a passion and a love for telling stories that are centered around two people falling in love and building a life together. It really lights me on fire getting to do that and have such an intimate and deep relationship and create something that like they can look back on and they can tap into those emotions and feel deeply.
It's a partnership with those couples.
Yeah.
What is that like to kind of be in a longer term like relationship with a client? Because it's not just a, hey, let's plan this shoot. Here's right. A mood board. It's like, hey, your wedding could be a year and a half away. How do you like, what is the communication that you guys have together?
I think when I first entered the industry, I felt like I didn't love it because I felt like watching other wedding photographers, they would show up the day of, and that was the deepest part of their relationship. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I want to get to know a person. And one thing that I've really tried to emphasize with my clients is like, we're going to be friends. We're going to be really good friends. Like, I'm going to know stuff about you. So, and you're going to know stuff about me. And so what that looks like is I take on a limited amount of weddings and I keep it that way so I can develop that intimacy with them and get to know them and their story. Because if I taking on like 30, 40 weddings, I'm going to feel overwhelmed. I know I'm not going to deliver my best. And ultimately, I want to serve them with excellence. I want them to feel like, okay, she is investing in me just as much as I'm investing in her. And so that's what that client experience looks like. It's less of, I hate putting that label on, like, you're my client, because really, we're investing in each other. So a friendship forms.
Yeah. What does serving with excellence mean to you?
Taking what I have and continuing to develop it, being a lifelong learner. Honestly, just knowing where I'm at, doing the internal work of, okay, I'm here, but I know I can be better. And not necessarily for self-promotion of like, oh, I can be better to assert myself over people, be like, hey, I'm better than you. Be better to deliver better for the people around me, to be able to invest more in my sphere of influence. So, yeah.
What are like the tangible things that you've worked on in the past that have tweaked for the best experience of the friendship that you bring with your wedding couples?
I think I'm in an early stage. I always feel like I'm in an early stage of anything. I never feel like I'm an expert in anything, and that's I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah.
But I think right now, what I'm truly investing in is the client experience. So learning that I can just, it's okay to use the emojis that I wouldn't normally use if I was texting my friend, or, you know, I can still deliver a great experience by, you know, emails and making sure that they have all their concrete information, but texting them throughout the week of saying, hey, just checking in, how's wedding planning? Do you need help? Learning that my role as a photographer expands more than just a photographer.
You were wearing 17 hats as a photographer. And the photos are just like the tip of the iceberg of like how many back end things you take care of. One, just to let alone the relationships that you build, but then also like the mood boarding. And I don't know what else comes to mind when you think of the 17 hats that you wear.
Oh my goodness. Mood boards, making sure that they feel comfortable with, maybe they're going through a dilemma with one of their family members. Like, you know, I don't really feel comfortable with this person attending and I don't know how to navigate this situation. Being willing to, hey, I'm going to make time for you. Do you want to hop on a call? Let's like process this together and make sure that you feel good, because oftentimes a bride forgets that it is their day and we need to celebrate them. And so they'll get caught up in the details, and grounding them to remember like, hey, this is about you. This is to celebrate your day. Let me remind you of that. Just reminding them of what the purpose of the wedding is, honestly.
With that intentionality, I feel like you do want to take on less weddings, because you can only deliver so much out of yourself from hopefully a fuller cup. And so what do you do to make sure that you limit your weddings? Like, how do you, is that turning people away? Is that like just really honing in on what you put out so those specific kinds of people come to you then?
Yeah, there's a couple different things that I do. The first thing is knowing my boundaries and being able to say no. And that is a lesson that I've learned. Like, hey, this is where I stand. And I'm okay with saying no. If I know, not necessarily from the perspective of saying no, like, hey, you know, we're not going to work together just because I'm going to say that to you. Learning that, hey, I want to deliver my best to you and I want you to have an amazing wedding experience. And I know that if I did your wedding, I wouldn't be able to deliver that because I'm already booked twice that month, you know, saying I can't do that. And I got to serve my people well. And I know someone is out there that's going to be able to deliver something exceptional to you. And then also knowing my worth and being able to price myself that way of, I know the work, I know the intention that I put into something. And if someone can't see that value and what I'm bringing to the table, then that's an immediate, hey, we're not going to work together.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Right.
Weddings are not cheap at all.
Right.
But wedding photographers are definitely not cheap. I mean, going through my own wedding planning process, I'm like, I know what it's like because I am a wedding photographer. I have shot weddings before. So I'm like, yeah, you do kind of have to shell out that cash for the value that we as photographers provide. But then on the other side of that, I'm like, yeah, that's still a pretty penny.
Yeah,
but like,
it is.
That it is memories that last forever. And I'm curious, what kind of look or feel do you want your couples to feel when they look back at their photos? Because you have a very distinct, like, awesome style that I am in love with myself. But, like, how would you describe that look?
It changes for every single couple. There's been so many consultation calls that I've hopped on, and the couple's like, can you describe your style? And I often go back, and I know it feels kind of rude to say it, but I'm like, have you looked at my work?
Right.
Like, every single couple that I've worked with, their photos are going to turn out different. And my editing style and my stamp on the photos is still going to be there, my influence. But ultimately, I want to create a space where they can feel most themselves, so that when they look back on their photos, they're like, this was us. They see the photos, but they see less of me and more of them. Like, I don't want them to look back and I had an awesome wedding photographer and her name was Eden. I want them to think like, wow, this moment with my mom, this was so meaningful. And I can just go back and feel this moment of her just celebrating all that I've been through to get to this day and all the planning and the processing and all the memories I've had with her, of her celebrating a connection that I have with someone that's going to be my lifelong partner. Like, I want them to feel that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I think my style, ultimately, it shifts. It doesn't change. It shifts from one couple to the next because I want it to be personal.
Yeah. And now, from that, there's also this, if my style is changing throughout, there's perfection in the Instagram grid, right? And we're diving, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So what is your stance on, like, do I have a perfectly curated grid that has the similar, like, feel to it? Or because it shifts, it's not completely changing. It's not like you're getting reds in one photo and greens in the next. But does it matter to you what your grid looks like, I guess, is the question. Because you're leveling up, and I'm just curious, as someone that has, you know, right now you're like 5,700 or something like that. You're just like off the charts, awesome. And sure, followers aren't the end all be all of popularity or success. But I'm just curious, as someone that is higher in followers, what does that process look like in your head?
First of all, you nailed on the head. Followers don't matter. Like, if I lost my platform today, I would, yeah, there's a part of me that would be like, oh, I worked really hard to put all that content out. But at the end of the day, I know who my people are. I know who I'm serving. So if I didn't have a platform, I would be totally fine. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I don't even, my account has grown and because of like different things will blow up and I'm up. It's okay, whatever. Like, just more people to give back to.
That's a good statement right there. The more people I get, the more I can give back to.
Right. Your sphere of influence just grows. You have more opportunity to share and connect with people and look for ways to encourage them in what they're doing already. I think that's really, really beautiful. Like, you can't give to everyone, of course. You can't run yourself dry. But you find the people that want to grow and want to learn and that want to collaborate on ideas and moments, and you build relationships.
Yeah, it's not
them.
Just a fan club that's all about right. you.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you came because there was some value that I'm already giving.
Right.
And then as more people, word of mouth or sharing or whatever, your influence grows.
Right. And I always go back to this. Do you want to make fans or do you want to build friendships? And that goes back to, like, if I didn't have an Instagram account, I have to ask myself this, would I be okay? Yes, I would be okay because I lean on that value of friendships and relationships matter more. And I love the community that I have. I love the people that I'm in relationship with, that I'm walking with. And that's not everyone on my Instagram. Like, it's not, it's really not. And I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that.
I think too, if you lost it all tomorrow, you would still be able to grow it back just as fiercely and probably even better too, just shaving off the people that aren't super involved, but then just because of the thing that you put out, like, it's, you slowly built this engaged community that is a part of your life and a part of your journey and everything, and those people would come and fight for you no matter what.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Whether you had zero or 5,000.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So they would come find your new pages to be like, hey, I'm there for you, Eden, like, and just come back immediately because of the value you put out.
I think everyone has people that fight for them and love them. And you have to know yourself before you try to go find your people and find who do you want investing in you just as much as you invest in them. Like, it goes both ways, but yeah.
Community is a two-way street. I think to just community in general is super important. Obviously with Silo, that's a thing, but also the individuals that are doing awesome brand work or doing the wedding photography. Like,
yeah,
you still have to have that community that sews into you because you need a full cup to then serve your clients. What does that look like for you to be in community recently?
I think there are levels to community, and that is something that has helped me set healthy boundaries and not take things personally, because I think everyone will go through difficult situations in relationships. That's just the nature of community. But I think there is a close circle, and I have wonderful friends that are in my corner that are cheering me on, that are giving edifying comments about, hey, this is where you need to grow, or I could see you doing a little bit better here, but you're doing this great, and cheering you on with constructive criticism. That's so important. Like, you, there's always room to grow. And then I have the people that are a little bit outside of there that I'm pouring into my inner circle, but I'm also pouring to my outer circle. And that gives me, having this little group gives me what I need to continue giving back to the people, even in a larger sphere, to the creative that's like, okay, I'm building that right now, and I'm building into my community. I'm figuring out who's in my inner circle and who's in my outer. This is not something that you take and you deem someone less worthy on the outside. That's something that I want to reiterate. Like, my enemies, I don't even want to call them that. Like, people that don't like me, I still love them just the same as someone that's in my inner circle. That doesn't change. I still wish them the best. I still pray for them. You have to have boundaries. You have to know when to say, okay, you know what, look, we can't continue this relationship because this isn't healthy for the both of us.
Yeah, there's filters in place of what comes through to actually mean anything in your ears.
And I even want to build off of the inner circle. I think a lot of people allow the bigger circle to be their inner circle. And when we have social media, that becomes even more prevalent because everyone's on social media. So you're like, all my followers, they're in my inner circle cheering me on. And that's not the case. Even if someone seems like they have good intentions for you, or they make one comment that's encouraging, that doesn't mean that you should be taking everything that they tell you to heart, because sometimes it's just not personal. And sometimes they don't mean it that way. And so you have to know who your people are. And I think that corresponds with like community and what we're kind of talking about. Like, the people at the top are collaborating and the people at the bottom are competing.
Say that one more time for the people in the back.
The people at the top are collaborating and the people at the bottom are competing. And I hate that we're even giving it levels, but when you're thinking of everyone as competition, and you're just looking at the people around you as ways to take and get what you want, you don't have a healthy mentality. You are not a healthy creative. And I know for me, like, I have been in spaces where I've not been healthy. And the thing that has rooted me now, like, I still have seasons and chapters and days where I'm just like, oh, you know, I don't really feel that great. And you start going down a negative thought. But now I have a boundary even for myself established of, they're doing it well and I can appreciate that. But that doesn't mean I need to take what they're doing and become that. Like, I am staying in my own lane, and this is the path that God has written out for me. And I need to be confident in what he's doing in my life and trust him enough to walk in those steps. And not try to be someone else. Mm-hmm. Like,
you can't let that outer circle speak into your life saying, oh, Eden, you shouldn't be doing that wedding stuff. That's whack.
Right.
Or all that. You need that filter to be like, hey guys, listen, I have a calling. I'm sticking to it because my inner circle also sees that calling and passion that I have for following what has been laid out for me.
Yeah. And to the creative or the photographer that's really just struggling of like, I don't even know what my next step is. I think that what the best thing to do is find your people and ask them questions. Ask for constructive criticism. Where can I grow more? What am I doing that could be improved? And then also sitting down and looking in the mirror. It is a humbling experience of looking and being like, ouch, I really suck there. Like, I'm not good there. Or And being willing to take those things that you're maybe not the best in and write out a goal and then write out a step to get to that goal. And then being consistent. Oh my gosh, if I could emphasize consistent, you have to be consistent in order to see growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes a while to build those roots that go deep enough. I think we often talk about the depth of community that we have, and it's really hard to just be like, hey, want to be friends, and expect that constructive criticism to be accurate. There's levels to the friendships that we have and the community that we can have, and finding those people that will dig deep enough into who you are and who they are. One, they need to look in the mirror first before they even start looking at you to figure out what you can improve. But building depth takes time, and that comes with consistency. Anything comes with consistency. And I think for those creatives that are struggling or want to build a following or want to build a or whatever, you have to look in the mirror and be like, do I really need the height of followers or do I want the depth of community?
That's, oh my goodness, what you just said, applauding that. But first of all, like, your intention, people can smell your intentions. If your intention is to just build a big following, it will come out. It will spill.
Smell that from a mile away.
It will seep out in the way that you talk, the way that you engage with your community, the way that you even share content. It will just, people will know. And so if that's your intention, I would say, hey, like, explore that a little bit more. Like, why are you doing that? And it's something like, even though I am building a platform and my goal is to not build a following. My goal is to reach my ideal client, my bride. And I know she's out there. I know who she is. I've written out who exactly she is. That is my goal. If I gain a couple followers here and there, that's okay. Like, hey, I'm going to share the content and I hope that you can benefit from it in some way and maybe be inspired or maybe take the leap to go out there and create your own content. That's great. That's wonderful. But ultimately, my goal is to reach my ideal client, to reach my bride. And some people are really offended by that. And that's okay. And I don't take it personally. I don't. I'm like, if you're offended by what I'm doing, that's that. Like, I'm in my own lane. I'm just doing what I've always set out to do. And I hope that along the way of taking steps to get to my goal, that I... and sharing and being generous with the people around me.
Yeah.
So
another tangible example for those who might not understand the depth versus the height analogy is to think about, if you want to be in community, you have to be a part of that community too. Like for me, through Silo, a tangible way of seeing this and encountering this is that if I'm not commenting and being a part of the community and like being encouraging to other people and sharing their work and doing this, how are they ever gonna wanna share my work? Like,
and interjecting, you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
And you are an icon in this area. Stop. Truly, truly.
Stop. But thank you. I gotta take better ownership of that, so I appreciate that.
You do.
It takes time and it takes a lot of effort because you can put out and put out and put out as much content as you want, but if you're not like absorbing one, inspiration, two, other people's work and like appreciating that, you can't expect other people to appreciate you. Like if you put yourself on a pedestal before other people are looking, what good is that?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you need people that have seen your work or you can sow into them so that they can see you. And I think I'm going in circles here, but that's how much it matters.
Yeah.
To like be a part of what you want to build.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can do that
no,
too.
No, that's beautiful. Of like, if you want something, which, you know, if that's your intention of trying to go into a community to get something out of it, you explore that. Explore that again. If that's your first motive.
I love how you phrased that. It was a very kind of like, explore that.
Yeah, write it down. Take some time to journal. Like, why are you doing that? Like, if that's your first motive, you constantly need to aligning. One thing that's, I'm always working on, because I will say this, like, I'm not perfect. And I know that I always have room to grow and to learn from other people. But from the mentors that I've learned from, how can I serve first? That's been something that they've always spoken over my life. How can you serve first? How can you give back to something, and not even give back, because that's assuming that they've already given you something. How can you give to them and not expect it in return? Because if we're being real, sometimes this life works in a way that we give, and we don't get anything back. And are you going to be okay with that? Are you okay? And are you confident and grounded enough that if you give something and that's not given back to you, are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's a big question to ask yourself. If the fruits don't come,
right,
will you still be sowing seed? I think adding on that too, I had just heard a story from my friend that texted me today in our like little accountability photo video group, which has been super cool. But this guy named Caleb just booked like a multi-$1,000 deal like for headshots. And he made it such a point that like this happened because of he touched base and started a relationship with these people like 7 years ago.
Wow.
And it was just so cool to be like, dang, he like needs to provide for his family. There's so many obstacles to doing that. Just one as a person, two as like a freelancer. And then to hear that like it takes seeds that have been sown 7 years ago to fully like show their like fruit and the things that can happen just from a relationship and like the community that you have cultivated and like shown up for the, your entire life.
That's beautiful. First, applauding you for building into your community. I'm sure you encouraged the heck out of him. And also, that's amazing and a testimony to how beautiful and necessary community is. Like to the creative who needs to hear this, like you need community, you need people to build into. Because I think people often think like, oh, if I'm just giving, I'm going to drain my cup. But really, when you give to people, you'll see them grow and you'll see that encouragement become, those seeds become something that allows them to put it into action, and you'll see the tangible result, and that will fill your cup more than going out and saying, I'm going to take and use this situation, use this space to grow into as much as I can. And use it to grow and establish myself. It'll serve you just as much as it serves them. Not saying that you should take that and be like, oh, okay, well, let me just do that with the intention of I'll just give back to, you know, get more from. But, you know, if you're having the right intentions, you will do so much good.
Yeah, and the opposite of that community then would be like the competition end of it, where I might be just starting out and I need to gather all the resources I can through the established communities that exist. And I'm like, okay, well, this people can give me a free photo shoot for showing up for this thing. This person can provide me with some logos for free. Man, I feel so good. But like, is that really fulfilling for you if you're stealing and just taking?
Right. And I think that is something that we should dive into, because as Silo, you create space for people to come together. But I'm sure there are people that are part of your community that come with the intention of, oh, free headshots. Let me just take and build my business off of these people. I'm not here with the intention of building into community. What you need... You need to, as a creative, explore, okay, let me give something that I have. If you're a model, coming with the perspective of, I'm coming to allow a photographer to create and collaborate with me and fill their creative cup, because maybe they're drained in this season of life. Like, they just haven't been doing enough to build into themselves. Like, I'm going to come with that intention to meet that person, to give back to them. If you're a photographer, like, wow, I've been taking a lot of pictures, but I want to gift someone my art. And when you, to have that perspective, because that is a mentality, that is a perspective shift, you have to do internal work. So if you're a creative out there, make sure you're doing the internal work and exploring yourself and making sure that you're aligning with goodness and not and not just this evil mentality of let me take and own something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can hoard as much as you want, but then what do you have? You have a messy home.
Right.
And to just be honest with you, you can smell those people at the events, and you think that you might be a shadow on the wall for just sneaking in behind, getting a quick photo, and oh, Austin, Gavin didn't see you, and I'm getting out of here. Like, unfortunately, I do see that, and like that is a thing, and it helps for me to be able to define those two kinds of people, and the person that is engaged in community. Are the people that come up to me and say, hey, I'm just here. Like, I don't even need a thank you. I'm not here for a thank you. But for them to be like, hey, are you Austin? You're that guy that does stuff? I'm like, yeah, I'm here doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm here.
I showed up today. I don't know what's going on today. But like, you can, like we said earlier, you can smell those people from like a mile away that are just here to gather.
You know your people. You know, you've built a community just as much as I've built a community. You know who your people are, and you know the people that are yearning to grow, that are yearning to better themselves and to better the people in their world. And you know that, and you know who to invest in and who not to.
That is my next point. Yeah.
And not that you're sitting there at your events and like, ooh, I smell you. I hate you. It's not like you're coming with that attitude, but you're like, hey, I really hope you get to a point where you can know yourself enough, know your worth and your talents and your skill sets, and want to give them back.
Yeah, the events are free, and we advertise it as free headshots. So like, am I gonna fault you for showing up? Absolutely not. That's how we like, you know, marketed it. But the people that we've invest back into are those people who show up and are like, hey, Gavin, I really want to grow today. Can you like pair me with some of the best models? Because like, their art is so cool and I will never live up to them. I'm like, first of all, let's even the playing field. And two, get over with them right now. And those are the people that we will be like, okay, yeah, let's make something happen for you, because we can tell that like stuff is going to make sense for you and things are going to click.
Right.
And I really like that you are exploring this as a mindset shift. And it's really important.
No, it's so true. Like, in order to be a healthy creative, I don't think I've ever met a healthy creative who doesn't know themselves. Every mentor that I would say is just like a little bit ahead of me, they know themselves, they know their weak points, they know where they need to grow, and they are also generous. The fact that they're giving time to me, like to just sit with me and talk through how they did it and what their process was, so I can look at them and glean and figure out, okay, where am I at now? How can I use this wisdom to grow and become better? Like, that's just a whole nother thing.
What does it look like to be sewn into then? Because I want to hear what has inspired you, what has been brought to the surface because of mentors, and how do you maybe find a mentor to start?
For me, I've had mentors over different chapters of my life, and some of them have remained consistent, and all of them come from different careers, different walks of life. But it's more so being willing to be edited, I'm using a photographer term, but willing to be humbled, and for them to say, you know, Eden, like, you're not willing to grow here, be stretched here. And I need you to go through that pain of like exploring what that looks like of, okay, I'm willing to be stretched here and this is painful and this sucks and I hate this, but willing to find out what's on the other side. And so oftentimes I haven't found my mentors. God has just blessed me with the ability to learn from someone who cares enough and sees enough within me. Even when I can't see it myself, sometimes they're willing to speak life into that. And everybody needs those people.
Yeah. It's so important to have, one, a North Star. And that could be any different number of things that you would want to have there. But to have that mentor that's like, hey, I see your North Star too. Let's take a little walk and figure that out. And that's so important, because without that, you can wander.
Mm-hmm. And you verbalize that so well. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. You can wander forever and not see the North Star in the sky that the person can point to you and see, do you see that too?
Right.
Oh, well, maybe we are on the same path, and let's walk it together.
But think about how often, like, we take little shifts, and if we have our end goal and, you know, a life circumstance that's hard shifts us a little bit, by the end, we're not even going to hit that. Like, we have to have the people in our lives that are like, hey, steering you back now. Hey, let me point this out about you. And it hurts. It sucks in the moment. But the people that tell you the truth and that tell you when you're not doing so good are the ones that you want in your corner.
Mm-hmm. You have to have that accountability, or else you will be 7 miles off track.
Yeah.
And when that time comes where you think you've made it, you look to your side and you're like, I'm 7 miles from where I actually wanted to be 4 years ago or whatever. Where are you at now then? After all this talk about heady concepts and stuff like that, where are you grounded at currently? What season of life are you experiencing?
First of all, a blessed one, like one that I'm super grateful for. One that's ever changing. I feel like I've not been in one place at one time recently. I travel a lot and I do a lot of work non-locally as well, and that's okay. But it's a good season, one that I'm constantly learning from, which brings it all back to be okay with that. It's okay if you don't have something concrete. Just realize that there's always something that you can learn from in your world. Ask questions and find consistency where you're at and build into that. You might not see the results in the moment, but that's okay.
Thank you, Eden, so much for coming out. It's been an honor, and I feel like, wow, did we have a talk for the ages of just dissecting like what it means to have a why and community and exploring just what it takes to be Eden. I think it's so cool to see the inner workings of your mind. So happy to have you on. So thank you.
Thank you.